He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? I was thinking of that, and you know, we've been blessed with two good, clear messages this morning. And I realize that, and realize that there'd be some time for celebrating love in your marriages this afternoon. But what a wonderful love to celebrate, the love of a God who loves forever. And as Brother Richards was speaking about the message of the Samaritan to the innkeeper, you know, whatsoever more he oweth, I'll pay that when I return. I thought of that verse there in Romans 8. He that spared not his own son, and he didn't, he sent his only begotten son because he so loved the world that he had given to that son. So loved them. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Is the all the whole human race? Well, no, the all is the ones that he gave his son for. And that's all from all his children among the Jews, among the Gentiles, among ages past, among ages to come. It's the same all that Brother Don was saying in John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. That's the all that he gave him for. He that spared not his own son but gave him up for us all, how shall he not freely? That means that price has already been paid. The rest is going to come along with it. Freely give us all things. So if there were anything else that one of God's children needed in order to obtain eternal life, God would provide that with his son. But the Lord Jesus Christ being our all in all, that settles the debt in full. And so what we have is not only life in the Lord Jesus Christ, but he's come that we might have life abundantly. And so the eternal life that we have inherited, how good it is to be able to, by grace, lay hold on that eternal life, by faith to have access into that grace wherein we stand. And so I so much appreciate this message. I'm going to speak real briefly from Acts chapter 7, verses 20 through 25. Brother W.F. has encouraged us to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, to have him in remembrance. And Brother Don has had us remember the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, how eternal life is by someone who came where we were and paid for our sins. I'd like us to remember how the Lord, just real quickly, remember how he was misunderstood. Acts 7, verses 22 through 25 says, "And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him, and avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not." Brother Don said this, the lawyer probably didn't understand the teaching of the Good Samaritan. But it's written and preserved so that we might understand it. It's hard to be misunderstood. It is. Moses, when he slew the Egyptian, I don't expect that he even thought that it would bring him favor among the Egyptians. He was defending a Hebrew. He was avenging him that was oppressed from the oppressor, which was an Egyptian. Surely Moses, being a man mighty in words and deeds, brought up in the wisdom of the Egyptians, would not expect this to curry favor among the Egyptians. But he probably had good reason to expect that maybe his brethren among the Hebrews would appreciate his stand. But they didn't. Maybe he thought, well, now that someone sees that someone's standing up and trying to help, maybe they'll gather together, rally together. But the next day when he saw two of his own countrymen, his own brethren, arguing, and he asked them to be at peace, you know, we need to be unified on this thing, one of them said, and you can just hear the tone, "Who made you a judge and a deliverer over us? Are you going to kill me like you killed that Egyptian yesterday?" Moses fled the face of Pharaoh after that. It was 40 years before he came back to Egypt. He was misunderstood. And that's hard. I expect most all of you have experienced that at some time. Is it Moses meant well? He's trying to do what he thought would help. And it didn't. And not only did it not help at that time, not only was 40 years later, but folks didn't even understand his motive. His own countrymen didn't understand why he did it. They really didn't see an effort for their freedom at all. They mostly saw an effort for Moses to become a judge and deliverer over them. That's very tough to deal with. Matter of fact, as an older man, Moses dealt with that. And after they'd come out of Egypt and they were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, and he was between 80 and 100 years old. And there was a time when some folks, I believe they were even Levites, a lot of them, came to him and said, "You take too much on yourself. All the Lord's children here are, they're all the congregation of the Lord, so are you going to be a prince over us?" Moses fell on his face, and he felt very misunderstood, and prayed to the Lord. He said, "I hadn't even taken one of their donkeys." And so he felt that way, and it was hard feeling that way. But if you go through the scripture, you'll find this in many instances. When David came and Goliath was threatening the children of Israel, and he began asking what shall be done, and who is this uncircumcised Philistine to defy the armies of the living God? Finally, his oldest brother, Eliab, said, "Why are you here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know the naughtiness of thy heart. Thou hast come to see the battle." Well, there it was. David was there mostly to obey his dad, who told him, go to the camp, to take a gift to the captain of his brother's unit, to bring some food to his brethren, and to find out how the battle went, bring back word to his father, Jesse. While he was there, he heard this challenge from Goliath, and he saying, "Wait, why is nobody checking his challenge and feeling for his country?" And after Eliab said that, he said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" So David was feeling this cause of Israel and the affront to the armies of God and thinking that something needed to be done, somebody needed to oppose this and check it. And was it understood? His own big brother said, "You're just a little boy that wants to see battle, and you're mischievous." Now that's just being misunderstood. Got worse. After he had slain Goliath, and everybody was celebrating, the battle was won, they'd spoiled the Egyptians, the day was won, and came back, and people were celebrating, and some of the women took it too far, and they were giving credit not to the Lord but to David, and saying, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David is 10,000s. Saul eyed David and he said, "What more can he have now but the kingdom?" And so David, trying to serve the cause, trying to serve the country, he was misunderstood not only by his brother, but by the king who allowed him to go forth and fight the battle. He meant it to help Israel. Saul understood it to overthrow the government of Israel. So he was misunderstood. Jeremiah was misunderstood. The Lord had sent the word to the people of Jerusalem by Jeremiah, saying, "Repent and cease your violence and do that which is right. Put aside your idols. I'll bring judgment on this city." And Jeremiah preached and preached, and nothing happened. They continued in the way of disobeying God. And finally, the Lord sent Nebuchadnezzar And Nebuzaradan, his captain, and the Chaldeans or Babylonians, and he gave Jerusalem into their hand. And while they encamped around Jerusalem and besieged it, the Lord told Jeremiah, say, go and tell the people of Jerusalem, whoever goes out and surrenders to the Chaldeans, they'll have their life. They'll be safe. But whoever stays here is going to meet famine and the sword. Now then, God said that because the chastisement was already pronounced on Jerusalem. And now the thing to do, at one time before that particular judgment came, God was saying, put away your idols, stop hurting each other. And just like in the days of Josiah, when they turned to God, there was a time of peace, and God continued to give peace in their day, and the judgment would come after. But when they forsook God and the Babylonians were on their way, it was at that point not the time to say, okay, if we do this, then we won't find this. Now the time was, the Lord is going to chastise us. How do we best submit ourselves in a godly and trusting manner to this chastisement? You know, it comes that way for children. If your dad says, stop that, and you say, no, I think I'm going to keep doing that, and he says, stop that or I'm going to spank you, and then you keep on doing it. If you'd stopped doing it the first or second time, there would have been no spanking. And he says, I've told you twice now, you're getting that spanking. And he starts coming over and you say, I'm stopping, Daddy, I'm stopping. It's too late now. Now the best thing you can do is say, yes, sir, and please make it a short spanking. See, that's the best you can do then. And that's where Jerusalem was. And so Jeremiah is going to the folks of Jerusalem and saying, if you go out to the Babylonians and surrender, they'll be merciful. But if you don't, you're going to meet the famine and sword. And the people of Jerusalem are coming to Jeremiah saying, you're a traitor. See, it was misunderstood. He'd been trying to proclaim for their welfare all along. Still was. But now it's really misunderstood. Now he's not misunderstood just as annoying, trying to tell us about this God who wants us to stop doing what we want to do. Now he's actually being perceived as a traitor. He's telling us to surrender our defense, to quit manning the walls, to go out and give it up to these strangers that have invaded our land. So Jeremiah was now seen not as just an annoying prophet. He was being perceived as a traitor. He was misunderstood. This happens over and over again. Many times you'll try to do something good and it just won't be understood. If and when that happens, remember Jesus Christ. He came to earth as a man. He left glory. He came down with great purpose so that when his hour was come, he would lay down his life and he would be made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He would give his life for our eternal life. He came down to do us good, to give eternal life to all his people. And in the years as he was waiting for his hour to come, he went about doing good. Sight to the blind, power to the lame, hearing to the deaf, speech to the mute, cleanness to the leper, peace to those possessed of an evil spirit. And he reached out to so many, to the publican, the hated tax collector, to the sinners, to the prostitutes, to those who had made such terrible errors and sins, reached out. Was it appreciated? Well, perhaps by the ones who received it. Was it appreciated in general? He was called a winebibber and a glutton, the friend of publicans and sinners. Today, in the 21st century United States, we think of the friend of sinners, and that's a good thing. We sing, Jesus, thou art the sinner's friend, as such I look to thee. That's a high title, but back then, in that day, it was not considered to be so. It was an insult. It got worse than that, though. Not just a wine bibber and a glutton, the friend of publicans and sinners. But it was, he casteth out devils by the prince of devils. The Lord said to his disciples, it is enough if a disciple be as his master, if they accuse me of casting out devils by Beelzebub, what will they say of you? And so there he was misunderstood as being in league with the prince of devils, the one who was so sorely tempted by devils. When the devil came to him and said, make these stones into bread, throw thyself off the temple, bow down and worship me, and I'll give you the glory of all the kingdoms of the world. And the Lord successfully withstood him and resisted the devil, and the devil left him for a season. And he said he came to destroy the works of the devil. Can you imagine one who came to destroy the works of the devil being misunderstood to the point that he was accused of doing his works by the power of the prince of the devils? Talk about being misunderstood. And then finally, as he was crucified, before the darkness came, the religious leaders stood around and mocked him and said, he saved himself. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. Let alone, let's see if Elias will come to him. They even misunderstood what he said on the cross when he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. He wasn't even calling on Elias. He wasn't calling on Elijah. He was calling on the Lord. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Not only did they misunderstand his motives, they didn't even get his words right. They were saying, let alone, let's see if Elias will come to him. He wasn't calling on Elias. Wasn't calling on Elijah. Elijah was not one who would come afterward to rescue him. But John the Baptist came before him in the spirit and power of Elijah as his forerunner. They didn't understand. And yet, in spite of the misunderstanding that they gave to the Lord, I want you to know that he saved every one of his people, as has just been proclaimed. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Even with being misunderstood, he continued to stay on the cross and didn't come down to satisfy the mockery. You know, he could have cleared up all that misunderstanding if he had done just what they said. Come down from the cross and we will believe thee. If he had just popped those nails, came out and called the 12 legions of angels and say, it's about ready to all be cleared up, then all of a sudden the misunderstanding would have been eliminated. But he let the misunderstanding stand out of love. Because he loved his people, he stayed on the cross until their sins were paid in full. Jeremiah faithfully warned the people of Jerusalem, even as he was called a traitor. David slew Goliath, even as he was pronounced to be naughty in his heart. And Moses eventually went back to Egypt one day, even though he didn't want to. God caused him to be a lawgiver for the people of Israel. He didn't go into the promised land, but he led them to the border. There's times that we will be misunderstood, especially if you're trying to act in love. There will be times you will be misunderstood. Especially, not only trying to love your neighbor, but trying to love the Lord. It's just part of it. And part of being open and brokenhearted is being willing to be misunderstood because the company is so good. Not just Moses, who was a sinner. Not just David, who was indeed a sinner. Not just Jeremiah, he was a sinner. Many, many of the people of God. But the company includes our Lord Jesus. May God bless you.